The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 409. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Adam Vail.
How you doing?
Brett Murdoch.
One of these days I want you to roll the R on my name.
You're not Hispanic, though. I could, it's though.
I just want to hear it.
Brett Murdoch.
Hey, I got to say, like, Irish, Murdoch. Too, you know? Brett Murdoch. You got to do two R's in that motherfucker. And Brian Manjoma.
Hey, guys. What's up?
What's going on, people? All right. No Chris action. He is commencing the Odin sleep. He must rest his weary bones and all that, you know? Okay, a little caveat. I haven't read any of the questions tonight. I haven't had time to. Mm-hmm. So you're going to be as surprised as I am. It'll be very interesting. And again, if there's some typos or whatever, you know, don't blame me. I didn't have time to edit this shit. So
let's get what into you been it. Up to?
Yo, man, I'm playing. Well, you know, actually, I only played 2 hours. I had, you know, I'll tell you off air what happened. You know, anyway, let's get into it, man. I'm just gonna read this as we got him. The Great Chop. We haven't heard that name in a while. What's going on?
That is an old name.
Yes, it is. First question: are games going the same route as movies? No company really wants to take risks that hurt its bottom line. Game Pass helps since you need originals to keep subscribers. Everything's kind of going down that path. You know, it's like make the easy money. You know, play the safe route. You know,
you run into the ground, and then when that's done, then you try to make spin-offs out of it from other things.
Yeah, that's why. Why do you think you get so many remasters? They know they're gonna sell, you know, or the same type of game mechanics. They know they work, you know. That's just how it is.
Is that the case with a lot of stuff? Like, you know, video games was kind of like a form of art. There was a lot of people that, you know, were creators that made video games and were inspired by a lot of different types of stories and, you know, different things. And it feels like when corporate world gets their hands on them, it's like, how can we squeeze this for as much profit as possible? And yeah, I feel like, well, that's the case for a lot of types,
yeah,
of media.
That's what I said. I think, yes, you know, this question is obviously about video games, but I agree with that assessment. You know, I've often said that's one of my problems with anime, right? Back in the day, anime used to be inspired by a bunch of shit. Now it's just inspired by other anime because they want the safe stuff. So it's not just video games that are the problem. It's not just the movies. Everything's going through that. And Carlos, I'm glad you said it's art, because art, you know, video games are art. I know some people don't want to believe that. And that's what happens with art. You get something successful, you get a million copycats, you know?
Well, yeah. Like, the thing about it is it's like they're taking the safe bets like that because of the fact that they are so expensive to do. That's part of the reason why the former head of PlayStation said the price of games need to come down.
Yeah, Sean Layden.
Sean Layden, because what he was saying is that games are so, the development of you know, current games is so high that it literally stifles new ideas and new IPs.
Yeah.
Because if you're spending
that kind of money, you got to play it safe, you know?
Yeah, you got to play it safe. So that's what we, you know, that's what everybody calls the PlayStation formula, all that sort of stuff, yeah, is because, you know, they're sort of staying within the wheelhouse of what has already been established. And eventually what happens is that people become so sick of getting the same things over again, then they have to redo it. That's what happened with the Halo franchise and a lot of the games that happened with Xbox. It just became to the point, no, also the original developers left, but it just became to the point where people just sort of just like, eh, I don't know. It's just sort of the same stuff over and over again. So I feel like in general, these companies are going to go with the safe bet because of the flame fact is that it's something that's already been time tested, sequels, remakes, and, you know, you know, games, you know, that are in a genre that is a popular genre.
Yeah. And then the other thing is, you know, when you have these mega games, I mean, again, you know, it falls for everything, but like we're talking about games specifically, when you have these mega games, when you have games that are like, they cost like $800 million to make, $1 billion to make, you're no longer, it's no longer five guys making it. It's like 800 people. So, you know, it's kind of like a lot of, you know, was a lot of chefs in the kitchen. Everybody has to get there. Everything has to be by committee. Everything has to be approved, you know, and it's always kind of just, you know, flat, like no crazy ideas are going to pass by. You know, someone's going to go, no, you shouldn't do that. You know, it didn't work here. Oh, it hasn't been proven. You know, like everything has to be done by committee, you know, because it's not just a small team.
That's why, you know, experiences like Elden Ring, where I feel like there's more of a singular person kind of driving the ship.
You could tell that was a singular experience, like, or a singular vision, you know?
Yeah.
By the way,
go ahead, Carlos.
Shout out to Kishak for subscribing.
Yay. Good stuff, man.
Also, you want to say with something like an Elden Ring is that they're iterative process, but they still sort of, each experience is sort of, you know, evolution of the last.
Yeah.
You know, Elden Ring is literally not the same game as the games before them.
Yeah.
They have elements of those things, but they have, it's like if you took it to the next level, you know, you have these big, complicated, levels or worlds that sort of roll around themselves. Okay, so now what if you took those sorts of ideas and then put them into an open world experience?
Yeah, and it works great. So yeah, go ahead.
I also don't think the overhead on a game like the game like Elden Ring. It's a very attractive looking game, but it's nowhere on the polish of maybe like a PlayStation or an Xbox first party title.
No, it isn't. But, you know, and we talked about this before, how like Japanese AAA is kind of like American AA. You know, like you can tell Elden Ring, they put money into that shit, you know, but obviously not as much. But it's like a God of War or a Spider-Man or something, you know, but it's just, you know, they don't have that capacity. But you're right, you know, and you still kind of get that singular vision out of Japanese games. Although on the flip side, you have Final Fantasy games, so you could tell they're made by committee nowadays, you know. So yeah, it's just interesting. But yeah, no, it's a great question, and yeah, it applies to pretty much all media, you know.
Yeah, even like a game like Cyberpunk, I feel doesn't really attribute to that. I mean, it had its flaws with the whole rollout stuff. But you know, when you see that game, and that's why that's the part that I appreciated since the beginning. It's like you could tell that they actually try to make something.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, they had a vision and they tried to accomplish it. It didn't seem like they tried to make this world to see how much they can, you know, shake from you, you know, how much money they can shake from you. Obviously, they fucked up in other directions. But, you know, in terms of, you know, just what the game is supposed to be, that's sort of the type of experiences that I appreciate when it comes to video games.
And I think that's why Cyberpunk resonated so much. Despite all the bugs and all the crazy shit, you could tell there's something special in there, you know. It's just now we finally get to see it, you know, after they finally cleaned up. But that game is a great example. If you have like a big AAA game that actually is doing something bold and like fresh, you know, but you don't get too many. Most of the time you get Assassin's Creed. Let's be real here, you know, or I'm going to say it.
Uh-oh.
Call of Duty.
Oh, dude.
You know.
Well, this is different.
Anyway, let's move on. We got more questions here. One subset. What's going on, brother? Also, since we didn't get too many questions, I am allowing the three questions tonight. No sponsored questions tonight, so we're good. One subset. First question: is Warframe on PlayStation still popular, or has that community died a quiet death? Brian, I'm going to go to you. I don't know how much you know about PlayStation Warframe community, but you know Warframe, so maybe you have some insight here.
I don't think I have too much of an insight, but it's, from my understanding, Warframe itself has just been slowly dying. Well, that's why I hopped off, because it was in a very bad state in terms of updates. They went from having an update every month or so, where it was like, okay, like new stuff happening, to an update every couple of months, and then, yeah, it's just, the rate of updates just got really slow, so I'm not surprised if they carried on that pathway.
Yeah, I guess you kind of answer the question, though. Like, in general, the game's just gone down. You know, it's not just on a specific platform, you know? Because you're right, didn't it have, like, Tenno-kan and shit? Like, the game was big, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was massive. Like, and they had, like really cool ideas and really fast updates. But then it seems like they just kind of... Either they got too comfortable, or maybe they got bought out by Tencent and that became a problem. I have no idea, but it just seemed like they slowed down on the content and just everything went to monetization instead. And obviously the fan base weren't too happy because they were like, oh yeah, like where's the content? Like they like playing the game, so give them more game, but they got less game. So, yeah.
Right. Hey, I don't know if anybody else has any more they want to say about Warframe. I don't know anything. I've only played a little bit of Warframe. I played a little bit of Warframe with Riku-san when it first came out on PlayStation. Remember, that was like a free game on PlayStation 4. So I played it. I'm like, yeah, this game's cool. But, you know, to me, there wasn't anything special about it. So after like an hour, I stopped playing it. But, you know, respect to people who play it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next question. Now that FIFA is no longer under EA, would Konami or Sony pick them up? Now, isn't it like that the FIFA organization would go to someone? Isn't it that way, Adam?
It's just FIFA can sign whoever they want, but it's what you get with it. That's the problem because all these leagues have their deals with EA. The Premier League, Serie A, La Liga, all of them, Bundesliga, that's all.
La Liga.
Yeah, La Liga. So that's the thing, and even when I did the review for the FIFA 23, and I saw a lot of people making comments, they're like, wait, but if they're losing it, they're losing everything. No, FIFA is just the naming.
So yeah, they're just losing the World official Cup. Branding.
Yeah, and they're losing the World Cup. So the World Cup can go to whoever, but then when it still goes for the naming rights and stuff, it's up to whatever EA has the deals with those teams and with the leagues. If it's exclusive, then you're going to see Argentina and whatever, Spain and other ones, but just numbers and not the real names because that's all tied to what EA had. It varies because we have right now, there's an issue with, I think it was Milan, where we don't have the EA doesn't have the names rights for them. They didn't have that with Juventus last year, but now they got the rights. It's all like, because some teams can work out their own deals with EA as opposed to the league working out the deal. Anyway, it's going to be that type of thing. So if FIFA jumps, which it will, I'm sure it'll get picked up by whoever. But it's not going to be the experience that you think. And a lot of people seem to get this idea that all of soccer is under FIFA. And if FIFA goes somewhere, then everything carries over. That's not the case at all. Because, like I mentioned, it's all separate contracts. And that's an issue that EA is definitely going to have to deal with. Because a lot of people are really confused. Sort of like what we talked about when people see a Call of Duty, you said that added to PlayStation, they think it's only on PlayStation. It's the same thing. They see FIFA and they're going to see that with Konami or whatever, whoever. And like, oh, damn, it's going to have all the teams. No, it's going to have whatever teams were in the World Cup, but that's it. It's not going to have everything else unless they can work out separate deals. And EA is real bullish when it comes to all of that, which is why even Konami, when they had their soccer game, didn't have all the naming rights.
It's why it was called Pro Evolution Soccer, FIFA.
They couldn't do it. They had Champions League. That was a big selling point. And then when that contract ran up, they wanted to lose money. Konami can't pay it. EA said we could. And then they got the Champions League. Then they had exclusive rights for Camp Nou for Barcelona's. That's their stadium. And then they lost that. And that showed up in EA. So it's a lot of money involved. And it takes deep pockets. Right now, no one has deeper pockets in the soccer sports game than EA. Remember, that Ultimate Team and stuff, that makes Bukalapak. We've seen the numbers. They make so much money from it. So they can throw whatever money if someone's thinking about, hey, and who knows, maybe one of these clubs will put that type of leverage. It's like, hey, FIFA just signed a new deal with X company here. Maybe, we have no contract this year. Maybe we renegotiate that price or else we're going to work something out with them. But it's up to that other publisher to fork up the money to get the rights for that or just the itself. But that hasn't happened. EA has all these leagues, and I've yet to see another game come out with any licensed league names. It seems like they have rights for video games to put them in, sort of like what they have with Madden. Yeah, so that's why, am I expecting anything? The answer, no. Even it doesn't matter who picks it up, unless you're into just the World Cup. then that's it. But if you want all the other things that come with it, which usually is league play, because all these players are coming from their respective league stars and clubs, you're not going to get that.
Yeah. All right. By the way, I just realized something.
Uh-oh.
Daylight savings time, and Brian's here on time.
Uh-oh.
Yeah,
what happened?
We changed a week before you.
Oh, so you got used to it. Because usually when we do savings times, you're off by like a week. You know, for a whole week, you're like off and shit, you know?
Yeah, like you guys changed when? Like
this weekend? This week?
Yeah, we changed last weekend.
That's what happened then. Yeah, because literally for years, you know, it's like, oh, where's Brian? Daylight saving time. Then an hour later, you show up. It's consistent. Oh, oh. You know,
one thing though, just
Mighty Nerd was like, yo, did you guys start an hour late? No, bro, we on time, baby. Anyway,
just to link this up, just so people don't know, the World Cup is in this FIFA, so the World Cup that's happening in 2 weeks, that's still going to be in this FIFA. It's after this one, the next 4 years, so we'll find out whatever happens after, but that's in this one.
Cool, all right. Another one from Mr. One Subset. Would Activision revive Pitfall to be in the style of Uncharted or Tomb Raider once it gets acquired? Who knows? It'd be nice, but who knows?
It'd be interesting to see. Yeah. I mean, it seems like a given, right?
Well, not really. We haven't heard Pitfall in fucking ages.
No, but I'm saying, like, it seems like a given if they were going to try to attract that sort of action adventure.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was sort of attempted to sort of revive Pitfall before, you know, with Super Nintendo.
They made
the original one, then in the Super Nintendo era, they made another one that was more modern.
Yeah.
So if they want to attract that sort of audience, I could see them doing that, essentially reviving it and essentially going with the Uncharted route with it. Giving Pitfall Harry a bit of a more of a personality.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it could work. That'd be cool. All right. Moving on here. Tumeke, who's joining us tonight. First question. With that clip on Twitter of the dude living his best life, I'll explain that in a minute. Coming down the escalator with a... Okay, he does explain it. With the clip of the dude living his best life, coming down the escalator with a PS5 and a 4090 under each arm and his girl by his side, I thought I'd ask the crew for their experiences where they came out of a store absolutely stoked for their purchase. This is a fun question. Yeah. Manny, I remember the most memorable one. I remember when Manny bought the PS3 version of, you know, Metal Gear Solid. Metal Gear Solid 4, right? Manny grabbed that fucking PS, because remember, this is the PS3. People were fucking getting shot for these things, right?
Yeah.
Manny grabbed this fucking thing like it was like, you know, holding on to his life, ran around the corner to the taxi service,
and we headed out.
We were gone. We didn't know we couldn't get shot. We don't know.
Yeah, man. We don't want fuck that shit, man. I ain't getting held up for my fucking shit.
Yeah, we got in that taxi real quick, you know?
Yeah, man.
Because I had gotten my PS3 the month beforehand when GTA 4 came out, you know? So I was there with you to get the game, but you were there to get the game and the, you know, the special edition system or whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. Was it a bundle or something?
Yeah, what happened was the regular edition of Metal Gear Solid 4 was bundled with the console.
Yeah,
I bought the console and the special edition version of Metal Gear 4. So I was just going to give you the copy that came with my PlayStation.
Yeah,
and you know when you pay me for that, whatever. Huh?
It was
packed. Yeah, because it was it was like for Metal Gear 5. So I mean 4.
There wasn't another game coming out that same time, was there?
No, that was the other time you're thinking about is when Uncharted 2 or 3 came out.
Yeah.
And Brutal Legend.
Brutal Legend came out the same day. Yeah, I remember that. That shit was crazy.
Literally everybody online was there, you know, because that was one of those occasions where I literally picked up two things at the same time. So everybody's like, Uncharted. Me, you are like Uncharted and Brutal Legend.
Give me both of them, yeah. I also remember, and just another one, Manny, because we did at the same time when we got our Dreamcasts. That was huge too, because that summer we pre-ordered them, right? And we paid them all off, you know, them and a couple of games. So that day we went, you know, That was good. That was at the Queen Center Mall, I think we bought them at.
Yeah, we went to the Queen Center Mall.
Yeah. Yeah, that was hype as fuck.
But then there's also the other one, the crazy journey with me and you, which was to get the Sega Saturn.
Yeah.
On that release day, it was fucking cold as hell.
Oh, shit. I almost forgot about that. Yeah. Yes.
Because at the time they released the Sega Saturn earlier than it was supposed to be released.
Yeah, and it was weird because it was like around like May or something, but it was fucking cold for some reason.
Oh, yeah, it was horrible.
You know, May and it's cold in New York, you know, so it was crazy, you know. But yeah, no, those were hype. Sega moments, man, you know. Actually, I'm noticing a theme, consoles in general, you know. But like, what else can you get more hype for than a game console? You know, that's like the ultimate fucking thing. You know?
I remember the same thing was like when I got my what was it, the Panasonic 3DO, because Adam and I, you know, Adam had a friend that was, you know, lived pretty close to him who had the Panasonic 3DO, and I remember
that was across the street. Holy crap!
Yeah, he played all those games. And we're like, man, we really want that thing because we were all about Sega CD back in those days.
Uh-huh. Yes,
so yeah.
That was nuts. What? Soundgarden actually playing in a game?
Yeah.
Music in a game? Real music?
Full motion video that didn't look like it was a old animated GIF?
Holy, man, I always remember that. That blew my mind. I remember I wound up getting a job over the summer, like at a flea market selling shoes and stuff. I did everything I could to make money. That thing wasn't cheap. It's like $700 or something like that.
I managed to get when I got mine, they were like somewhat clearing out the old versions of the 3DO, and they were moving to that slim one. It was like the Gold Star or whatever. It was like a newer version that they were sort of, you know, phasing out. So they're phasing out the original version of it. And the store that we went to actually had it for cheaper than what it was. So I think it was like. $600, as I remember, right? And it was less than that. It was like in the $300 range.
Great.
But it was for the old one.
Just to show how it's a different time. So I while doing it, I knew I was going to have any money for games. So on the back of the comics, there was always like those weird game trade-in sites forms. And
it
was like,
it wasn't a comic. It was probably like a Game Fan or something like that.
It was something. Yeah. I just remember a slip that was in anything. And I had to fill it out and check the ones. And it said how much they would give me for whatever games.
Yeah, you had to check the checklist to see what you would get for it. Yeah.
So I packed up almost all my Sega CD games and some other games from other consoles that I had. I checked all the boxes. I did the total of how much it would cost. And then... it said, would you like to trade? It was on the other side of whatever game. And then I checked that I won. I got Shockwave. I got the FIFA one. Mm-hmm. Of course, Road Rash was there. No, Mom bought me Road Rash because I remember that was definitely Shockwave, Monsters Manor, right? And something else. Anyway, I packed up my games and I sent it off to God knows where.
Yep.
And I waited weeks. Who knows? That could have never arrived. You know, there was no internet access for this type of thing. This was just me filling out a damn form, packing up all my games and hoping for the best. And sure enough, a few weeks later, a box showed up and it had the games in there and it was a check for whatever remained. It was like $5 or $6. And I was like, shoot, there you go. It worked.
Yeah. All right. Carlos, most hype game purchase from a store.
Game purchase.
Yeah, that when you left the store, you're like, fuck.
Well, the most, I guess, I don't know. Yeah, it's hype too. I guess the most memorable one for me was the 360. It came out, 2005? So I was in high school. And I remember it was during a school day, and me and a buddy, we lined up on a Target, like at 4 a.m. And there's like this long-ass line, right? So we barely made up with an Xbox. And I remember we were all hyped. We were on the news. We were celebrating and stuff. And then, you know, we packed up our 360s in my trunk, my car, drove to school. And I think it was like homecoming day or homecoming week or something. So like the teachers didn't really care about like us not showing up to class like during that time. And I remember we, you know, called up all the buddies. We went to my car. It was parked by the school, opened it up, showing up 360. We're all like, oh, shit. Oh, my. It's the new Xbox. were all hype and stuff. Yeah, it was pretty. It's a memorable one. The other ones are, especially the last ones, are pretty lackluster since I got them all off of Amazon.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. I think the PS3 was probably the last big one for me because PS4 had that shipped. PS5 had that shipped. PS4 Pro had that shipped, you know.
The Switch was another hyped one because I remember we lined up, I think it was on a GameStop. We lined up to get the Switch and, well, not the Switch, the Nintendo Wii, my bad. Nintendo Wii. It was 2006. And I remember we got it day one and we're all like, bet. And then we figured out later that shit was impossible to get, apparently. And we're like, I guess we got lucky. So I remember just thinking like the whole time, like, damn, we're the only people that got the Switch. We got the Nintendo Wii, because after that, it was kind of like how consoles are, the newer consoles are today, where it was almost impossible to get back then. It was super high demand, and Wii bowling and stuff got super hype. So yeah, but yeah, you know those days, they're not really gonna happen.
Yeah, anymore. No, they're done. Especially, you know, we're old too. We don't get hyped about shit anymore. You know.
Yeah, we're old and curmudgeon.
Curmudgeonly.
Yeah, right. Damn, that's kind of sad. We're never gonna get that feeling ever again. Oh well.
Oh yeah.
Brett, what about you?
Speak for yourself. I don't get that. I still smell every one of my goddamn consoles, man.
Oh shit. Good for you.
Like,
yeah. What was your most memorable and what was your most memorable game purchase that when you left the store, you're like, fuck, I got it,
dude? I was really excited when I got the Switch. Because I was like, oh, fuck, here comes Breath of the Wild. Like, I was really excited for Breath of the Wild. I was a huge Zelda fan. And it was, you know, kind of the spiritual successor to, I'll draw a blank on the name, the old school one back in the day, 64 one, not Majora's Mask. Ocarina of Time, there we go. So I was really excited about that. But honestly, other than that, like, I haven't bought a whole lot of shit in the stores. At least definitely not, like, since... Okay, here we go. The last thing that I walked out of the store really excited like that was when Rachel got her PS4. And we brought it back, and that made it so we had two TVs, two PS4s, and we could game together. And we were fucking stoked. But, you know, since then, everything's been pandemic and online shopping. So I can tell you, I got super fucking excited because I got the email that my Steam Deck had gotten here before it was. So I came running home like... fucking, I had the golden ticket on that one.
Hmm. Nice. Right, Brian.
I'm sensing like a theme here, you know? yeah, I'm mostly in the same boat. PS3, got that from the store. I'm trying to remember. Yeah, got it from the store on the way home from university. And I was excited because it came with two games. Those two games were, and get this, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, I know, right? Somehow I got it like 10 years early, and God of War 3. And I was just really hype, you know? So I'm like, cool, I get to actually finally play like the ending part of God of War and enjoy it. And I was excited, got home, just played it for like the whole day until the guys got online, then had to play Modern Warfare 2. Wasn't very happy about that, but... Didn't really do much, and like with you guys, everything else has been online. Like, I got my PS4, but I like walked into the shop, bought it, and walked out. No real fanfare with that one. PS5 just ordered online, you know, just feels really weird that you can just order a console online and then it like comes to you. Like, the days of having to get it to the store just aren't there anymore, and I never really noticed that until this question, but. Yeah, it's a fair point.
So there's a video of someone that bought a what? I forgot what the inspiration of the question
was. Oh, okay. So basically, there was this. I don't know what country this is from, right? It looked Japanese, but I could be wrong. I don't know, whatever. So the video was this dude was on an escalator coming down. This dude, one hand he was holding a PS5 console on one hand, and then on the other hand, he's holding a 4090 graphics card and a hot girl next to him, and she's like rubbing the PlayStation and shit, and she's like real close. You could tell that's his girlfriend. I'm like, yo, this dude is living his best life right now. Bomb ass console, bomb ass GPU, and a hot girlfriend. Like, good for you, sir. Salute. You know, that was fucking awesome.
That's probably not Japan, because I don't know how all that shit's gonna fit in those apartments.
Yeah, it was probably Korea, maybe. Who knows? You know. But either way, whatever the country of origin, respect to this dude. You know. Anyway, moving on here. Next question: which franchises need to take a long break, not get a sequel, but definitely need a return ASAP?
Which franchises definitely need to return ASAP?
Yeah. So he goes. Example: Call of Duty is finally taking a short break, but does the series actually need to? It still sells huge numbers, and its fans are happy to buy whenever you're Bloodborne. Does it actually need a sequel, or is it better off being a one and done? God of War with the Norse story finished after two games. Should the series take another break? I guess I didn't have a chance to edit this, so I don't know if I'm reading the question correctly here. Dumeka, you're in the chat.
Halo needs to come back and get fixed. They already tried that. It didn't work. They need to fix that shit now.
When did they go on a hiatus? They've been pumping these games out forever. No, they never stopped.
No, man. It was a few years since Halo, the last Halo before Infinite.
Five? I thought it was like a couple of years. Uh-huh. It wasn't that long.
A couple of years. There you go. That's a couple of years. It's not a yearly release.
Well, Halo 5 came out like in 2015, I think.
Yeah, let me see. Halo 5.
Halo 5? I thought it came out in 2017.
Even then, if it did come out
in 2017, that's a long time.
2015. That's what I'm saying. That's a long time. So here it is. We get Infinite, and it's got all kinds of damn problems. So they need to jump back on that bike and fix this shit. Because if they let it linger too long, by the time nobody would give a shit.
Yeah, here's the question. It was like a three-part question. Okay, he goes, are there any game series you feel need a break or not return or definitely need a new version of?
I'll stick with that. Yeah. We need a new version of Halo Infinite. They need to do a remaster a year later. Just do it. Get that shit fixed. This is ridiculous. It's going to have such a bad taste in everyone's mouth every time another Halo comes out. They need to get rid of 343.
Yeah.
Right off the bat, they need a new development. They need some sort of like when you go to a store that had bad food, or whatever, and the next time you go to new management, you're willing to give it a try. New management. Okay. Maybe you got a new cook. Same shit. They need new cooks on this game. This is horrible. And it's a shame that the franchise has gone down the tubes like it has.
Let's see, because it is a three-part question here. What series needs to take a break? I still say Halo needs to take a break, like a 10-year break.
By the time they come back, no one will give a shit.
I don't think they give a shit now, but you know.
Because think about it, 10-year break. They say, oh, they're coming back. Like, and then you're like, oh, what was the last game? Like, Infinite was garbage. Oh, well, you know.
Yeah, it's true. Game. Yeah.
What was the one before that? It was also garbage. What about 4? You know what? Never mind. Yeah. I should have never brought it up. Let's go with Gear 7. You want to go pick up Gear 7? Yeah, I'll pick.
Damn. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Because you got to leave off on a high note, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. What series needs to not return? Last of Us. We're done. We're done with that bullshit.
Did they say? Are they done?
They're going to come out with another one. You know they're going to come out with another one. Last of Us should have been a one and done game. That first game was great on its own. Ending. Should have left it alone. Then 2 came and fucked the whole series up. You know?
They don't know how to do that.
What needs a new version? I don't know.
What game needs any game?
Any game.
Manhunt. Rockstar Manhunt.
Sure.
Bring that back. I understand it was very controversial, caused a lot of headaches for Rockstar. And so they toned it down with Manhunt 2, remember? And that was garbage. They should have left it alone. But yeah, I would love a remake of that. Or the Warriors. If they could redo the Warriors. They did a great job with that. So spruce it up. Put it to 4K. Graphics that we have now? Nope. Those two.
Yeah. Right. Anybody else?
Assassin's Creed just needs to go away for a good hot minute, man.
Yeah.
Even they're coming out with like 6 new games.
they're doing the opposite of what they really should be doing.
Yeah. They're like, hey, you want to take a break? Okay, we'll do 6 more games. How about that? And I think I may be underselling it, but I think it may be more than like, yeah, that's a ton of fucking games. But
most of those are mobile. That's the thing when they showed.
Yeah. Have like 2 real ones coming out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What was a Japanese game where you guys might ask it about?
I think next week is a big week.
Huh? No, I don't know more big weeks, man.
Oh, this one. Well, maybe not for you. Well, maybe it is for you.
I hope not. I don't want to review no more hardware.
No. Yeah, the 8th. This is it.
What's going
Halo
down?
Co-op. release.
Oh, I stopped giving a fuck.
On the 8th, I have not played the campaign because I was waiting to play it in co-op. That's how you do with Halo.
Yeah.
Finally, the 8th. But is it 4-player or 2-player? It's got to be 4, right? It's got to be.
Too much Silent Hill already. Man, nobody asked us about Hassan. I wanted to talk about that motherfucker. But you know,
I was about to say Abandon needs to die. What else? Yeah, I
wanted to talk about Hassan. This motherfucker came out the woodwork. All right, bro. Shut up. No one cares anymore. You know?
Shut up.
Yeah, so there you go. That's a game that needs to go away. Abandoned. No, he needs to go away. You know?
He always uses an opportunity to try to hype up his game. And you know, Kojima just randomly mentioned, he's like, yeah, this game that, you know, people keep telling me about, it's like, yeah, I'm not involved with this bullshit.
And then I like the way he's like, he needs to hurry up and release it.
Yeah, and then the dude Hassan, he's like, it's like, yeah, you know, me and Kojima, you know, just a bunch of developers. Why do they, you know, putting us in together with this kind of stuff, right?
Oh, shut up, fucking
asshole. It's like, what, motherfucker, wake up. You know what the fuck you were doing.
Exactly.
Stop playing.
It's like, come on now. That dude is something else, man. I don't know.
I will say, I did check, shout out to Young. Yeah, I did see one of his videos. I don't know if you guys saw his video on this most recent stuff. And
I didn't. I should check it out, though. What do you say?
He was calling out Hassan about his bullshit. But then I was thinking, wasn't Yang Yang one of the people that were kind of propagating the rumor?
Kind of.
He was one of the ones that was essentially saying, hey, could this be what it is? Yada, yada, and all that junk.
Yang Yang.
Shout out to Yang Yang. I like his content. But I did, I'm like, because he was one of the people that were in that camp where it's like, yo, man, I kept telling, like, you know, our buddy Frankie B, I'm like, yo, man, this is definitely some bullshit.
Frankie B, son. Frankie My man was hitting B. me with those DMs, like this full on conspiracy.
I'm like, this is definitely, this is not going to happen, man. This is not, I don't know what you guys are seeing, but there was a contingency of people that were definitely sold with the theories.
Mob Hits goes throw down. He's making a Flash game. Who? Flash? Flash? I'll play that game. Oh, man. All right. Let's move on here.
The only thing I don't like about that song is it starts with like them talking.
But if you listen to the real one, like, you know, the real version of the song, that's not that movie stuff isn't in there, you know?
Yeah.
You know, that stuff we only have 24 hours to save the earth. You know, that stuff is not, and the real song's longer too, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You hear that bass, man? You're ready to roll, you know? Queenie, baby. All right. What game that you were, we've kind of answered this, but I'm asking it again just because I want Brett to list off like the 5 games he has. okay, what game that you were super hyped for ended up being a huge disappointment? Mine was the most Brian, his was for Horizon Forbidden West. I thought it looked great and only heard I only heard great things, but when I got it home, I fired up. It was the most cookie cutter sequel and should have been renamed Generic the Game. It was a From Software. If it was a From Software game, would have been called Soulless.
Really, it'll be called Dark Soulless.
Yeah. So Brad, I'm just tossing this to you. Name some games that you were hyped for that ended up being a disappointment.
Cyberpunk, Witcher. I didn't even mean to do two CD Projekt Red games in a row.
Oh, yes, you did.
No, I didn't. I was just like, Cyberpunk, although let me put some asterisks on those. Cyberpunk, although I went back, played it later, and I enjoyed it. Witcher just wasn't for me, man. It's a good game. It's just never really hooked me. I kept wanting it to. Seems like it should, but yeah, it just never really did. Other than that, like, I don't know why you're throwing this to me. I'm usually like,
I threw it at you because you're the guy that like usually gets hyped up for a game and then the game doesn't turn out to be all that. Or doesn't.
No, dude, I like liking games. I enjoy liking things, man. I'm generally a pretty optimistic person. I'm of the camp of, you know, fucking enjoy 6 out of 10 games, man. Right? So like
Well, you're one of those guys, huh?
Yeah, dude, I play video games to have fun, man. Like, I'm gonna try and find the good in there, and a lot of times, even if there's not a lot, I can make some of my own fun. So it's, I'm trying to think, like, I'm not like a lot of you guys, and where I get super hyped, pumped up for a game, and then don't at least find some way to enjoy it, unless it's like Returnal, where it fucking breaks on me, or
were you hyped for that,
Dying Light 2. Returnal, I was super hyped for Returnal. Oh, that just straight up disappointed me. Dying Light 2, that thing disappointed me because it bugged out so bad I could never finish the game. And by the time they finally fixed it, it was like a month later and Elden Ring was out. So fuck you.
Yo, Brett, I do have a question for you.
What's up?
I always forget what your relationship is with Ark, because I always remember you were the Ark guy, but then you didn't, like, did they change it or was it a disappointment? I always forget about that game.
Oh, no, Ark is honestly one of my favorite gaming experiences ever. There's a couple things with it. One, I got everything I wanted to out of it. I couldn't beat the experience that I had. But also, it was a game that Rachel and I liked really playing together. And a lot of those kind of building survival multiplayer games, like, I like playing them with other people. But I will say, like, okay, so the deal with Ark was we started and we kind of created a little tribe and everything was going great until when we had first gone in, we had gone in with a tribe. Under a guy named Aslorn. Now, Aslorn was kind of a douchebag and probably a tweaker. So we ended up bailing, and he left the server, left the land, never to be heard from again. So we're sitting there, and we're slowly coming up in power, and there's a rival tribe, and they're a real militant tribe with a guy at the helm named Madness. Now, Madness was always giving us the stink eye, but we kind of played a merchant tribe. So we were fairly neutral, and we supplied basically armaments. We were arms dealers for the entire server. Supplied armaments to both sides, let everybody fight. But as we were doing this, unbeknownst to us, Aslorn had come back to the server. He had gone into Madness's tribe and was starting to whisper in his ear about how we could be a threat. So Madness started to get paranoid. Started looking at all the armaments, all the things that we had, all the big, giant safe that we had put on a third-story tripod so that nobody could get to it. Because the second you tried to blow the ladder to, or blow the door to get to it, the ladder was in the vicinity. So you would destroy the ladder and have no way to get up. So we started actually posing a real fucking threat. Then one day, we see him like hovering around the outside. Now, we knew what kind of what was going on. We had just built a giant new base in a huge like stone lagoon. We call it Pirate's Cove. And we were jamming pretty hard. We were up to like 14 people. So we see these guys kind of hiding around in the background. And then all of a sudden, Aslorn comes out, starts talking shit. His tribe comes out of the forest, comes running at us. We see Madness still standing on the edge. Writing's on the wall. We see that he's just waiting for the time to come in. He thinks that we're only getting a one-headed attack. We know we're getting a dual-pincher attack. So at this point, Rachel tells our bomb team to go ahead and grab all the explosives and disappear themselves into the jungle. Find this guy's base and ring the entire bottom of it. Level that shit. So Rachel then starts talking shit to Madness and his girlfriend. Says to his girlfriend, hey, I saw your base. It looks like it was built by an autist. To which she goes, I am autistic, you bitch. She goes, best response ever. Just .. called it. Oh, my God. They got so mad. They lost all sense, came straight at us. We beat them down, destroyed them. But then here comes Madness coming in. Well, Madness is coming in, we realize they're after our entire loot, our horn, and we are not going to let them have it. So we destroy the vault that it's in and decide to make a last stand there. Everything takes 5 minutes to despawn. We're going to make sure none of these motherfuckers gets a thing. So we destroyed the vault and fought into the last until every one of those motherfuckers dissolved. We got wiped from the server, but we went down fighting and nobody got a fucking thing. After that, they turned the red, the green pillar that was right next to our base, the green pillar of light, turned red. I'd like to say it was from the blood of the fallen. And it was just one of those, such an immersive storytelling experience that, like, there's no narrative game that I could have played that touched that. Because every one of those situations was a real situation. It wasn't something that was planned by developers. It wasn't something that was in the safe lines. It wasn't something that I could load and try again. Every decision was life or death, consequences. It felt like what a video game was supposed to be because the stakes were actually there. It felt like it meant something. And it left me with a story that I will remember for fucking ever. I can't tell you, only a handful of games have ever done that for me. And that's one of the big reasons why I'm such a huge fan of emergent storytelling.
Nice. Good stuff. All right. That was dope. That was dope. For the actual question, games that disappointed you. I know for a fact there's been games I was hyped for or disappointed, but I can't think of any off the top of my head. If somebody can remind me, please do. No, I was in. I was not hyped for that fucking game. You know, that doesn't count because I kind of knew what I was getting into, and yeah, pretty bad.
You know what? You know, I can't say I was disappointed. I feel like I have been the victim.
Oh, I got one, but go ahead. Oh, go ahead.
I feel like I've had situations when I didn't listen to the spider sense that said to me, no, this game's not that good. You know, before I've even decided to actually play it. And I feel like the most telling example was Castlevania Lords of Shadow.
Oh.
I went into that game. I'm like, by all means, this should be a good game. But I had that thought in the back of my head. I'm like, just something seems off about this. I shouldn't buy this, but by all means, it's got everything that, you know, all the things that I would like about a game. You know, it's got, it's action game, like sort of God of War type of idea. It's one of those sorts of action adventure games. It's got Kojima involved. Can you go against that? So it's like, okay, so all these different things going for it, I tried out and it was just an utter... I just hated being right, and it kept getting worse.
I remember you lent me that game, and I was so happy I didn't buy it. What a terrible game that was!
What a terrible game! One of the only games in that I've bought with my own money that I just sold the fuck back. I just said fuck this thing. You know, after you finished it, you gave it back to me. You're like, meh, and I'm like, yeah, exactly. And I sold that game, and I think I forgot what I bought instead. But you know, and it was new, so
yeah. Okay, you know what? I'm gonna go off of that because I can name at least some of these games, like you know, games that because I'm you know, when I bought physical games, I was the type of guy I do not sell them, I keep my games. Mm-hmm. If I sell a game, that means it's so bad, I don't want it in my presence, you know. And I had two of them with PlayStation 4, ironically enough. I bought Killzone, Shadowfall, and Knack on day one. I sold both of those. I beat them, beat them, and sold them back. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want this shit in my fucking house. These games suck, you know? Mm-hmm. But the one that really disappointed me because I was hyped, right? Because they had two things I liked. You had Metal Gear, and you had Platinum Games. You can't go wrong here. And it's Raiden. I was one of the few people that liked Raiden. My Revenge is going to be fucking amazing. Platinum Games, they were just coming off of Bayonetta and Vanquish.
Vanquish.
They were like the studio, right? I play this game, one of the worst fucking games I've ever played. Like, the gameplay was good, but everything else about it was complete fucking trash. Level design was boring. The enemies were boring. The dialogue was atrocious. The story was terrible. I was like, wow, after that game, I've never trusted Platinum Games ever again. I was like, nope, I don't trust any. Like, I need to play the game myself and see if it's actually okay. Like, Nier Automata kind of brought me back to Platinum, but I didn't trust them for a long time after that piece of shit game. What a terrible fucking experience that was, you know?
Yeah, one of those situations that I said, I don't know about this.
Yeah,
the Spider Sense went on off.
Yeah, on that thankfully one. I didn't buy it. I got sent a review code, right? That was one of the worst fucking reviews I've ever written. I went off on that fucking game, right? Oh. Speaking about that, another one I was hyped for that I gave two games in my life. I gave, you know, we didn't have any scores on FTF play, but I eviscerated them. The other one was Resident Evil 6. What a piece of shit that was, you know? And I was looking forward to it because I like 5, you know? So I was like, okay, this is going to be good. Wow, that was bad. I don't know what's worse, Revengeance or Resident Evil. I don't know. They were both just
the absolute worst.
At least Revengeance had good gameplay. Resident Evil didn't even have that, you know? But you don't need gameplay enough. Gameplay is not enough for me. You need everything else, too. What a piece of shit that was.
I will say this about Resident Evil 6. My girlfriend, you know, used to play video games, not a lot. But Resident Evil 6 is the game that literally was the straw that broke the camel's back. She totally gave up playing video games after playing.
Wow.
Jesus.
Yep. Jesus. She's like, what the fuck? Like, she was playing the Ada Wong section. She's like, what the fuck is this? I'm done. Fuck this shit. And she just turned the shit off and just stopped playing.
Never stopped
playing. She never went back to playing anything. Yep.
That's crazy, man. All right. I'm pretty sure there's some games in the past. I'm like, what the fuck is this? Manny, Final Fantasy VIII.
Oh, man. You know what? And you went back to that shit, too.
I did. I hate finished it, you know? I was like, no, fuck you. I'm not going to let... I've hate beaten a few games. There was a one Blood Rain game that was like a side-scrolling 2D game. I hated that fucking game, but I hate finished it, you know?
You know what? I would also... You know, I put Final Fantasy VIII. I was disappointed with that game. Because it wasn't... Because, you know, obviously they don't tell you this, but the game, as if you gained levels, the game got harder. So if you were a higher level, you had to get, you know... The game got stupidly hard.
The draw system is what got me.
And then there was the draw system. What was it? Xenogears.
Oh, that's controversial.
Yeah, I didn't like that game. I sold it. Because it took so long to get to the fucking point. Like, I was on like disc two, and I'm like, when is the fucking plot to this shit gonna start? this garbage that was in the way. Then I find out that the third disc is like even worse. You know, like I was on disc two, and on disc three they said there was barely anything in it. I'm like, okay, so that was like later on. So I'm like, okay, I guess it was good for me to just get rid of this thing because I just could not stand that game.
Yeah. Mob Hits asked, did you like Resident Evil 5? Yeah, Manny and I played that game co-op. That was a fun
game. Oh, yeah, we got the platinum in that game.
Yeah, that was a good game, you know?
It was a great series. It used to be a great series.
What about the rest of you guys? Any games that you were hyped for that you were disappointed in?
Resident Evil 6 is definitely one of them for me. Because, I like you guys, I really enjoyed Resident Evil 5, and obviously 4 was a classic. Devil May Cry 4.
Devil May Cry 4. That's another one, you know?
That's always going to be in the archives of major disappointments for me. You're not going to agree with this one, Tony. Final Fantasy 13.
I could understand why, though, Carlos. That's the thing. I like that game, but I fully understand all the criticisms, you know?
If that game was just Grand Pulse, mostly like that, I would have loved this game. But, you know, after going through like 20 some hours of what they made me do at the beginning, I'm like this, I feel like a lot of people were hyped for that game. And, and it's like a really polarizing game now. Either you love it or you really despise it. And I'm on the despise camp.
Final Fantasy 13 is like the episode one of the series. You know, like it was so heavily marketed. Remember that shit?
Yeah.
Like it was like you had like Zaz fucking cups and shit. Like it was crazy. But then, you know, it came out, you're like, you know.
The graphics looked crazy at that time.
Yeah, man.
Lightning looked like a badass character. It's, you know, it was pretty heavily hyped. Trying to think of another game. But yeah, those are the major ones. Another one I was just, it was more ignorance more than anything. And I always mention this, these types of questions. Sub-Zero, I was super hyped because I thought I was going to get a fighting game that was primarily with Sub-Zero, but it ended up being a side-scrolling kind of game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, I remember, it kind of related. I remember, and I've told a story on air before, where like I bought SimCity for Super Nintendo because Bowser was on it. I'm like, oh shit, I got to destroy cities with fucking Bowser, you know? And then it turns out it's this fucking shitty building game, and sometimes Bowser comes out. I'm like, what the fuck is this shit, you know? That turned me off that entire fucking genre, you know? All right, Adam, you got any games that you were hyped for that you were disappointed in?
Games that I was hyped for?
The last two Call of Duties?
No. Oh, Vanguard. That was it. I mean, I'm sure there's more, but you just brought up Call of Duty and I'm doing this other Call of Duty. So, yeah, Vanguard was very disappointing because with Cold War, we had multiple endings, dialogue choices. It really changed things up because you didn't have that. Before, it was just linear, running, gun, shoot everything that moves. It's not on you. But this was like, no, you can go here. Yeah, you don't have to kill this dude. You want to save this guy? All right, you want to go find this code? Go find this code. And Vanguard, I was like, all right, you're going to implement some of that. That's going to carry over. That didn't. It went back to just linear, just running gun, snipe, shoot, run here. All right, thanks for playing. Go do some multiplayer. It's like, oh, man. So that was a letdown. And now, you know, with Modern Warfare 2, they went back to the linear. Yeah, they've got a bunch of other things, but they didn't bring that choice back. I miss that. I really do miss it. So, yeah, Vanguard. I was let down by Vanguard.
All right. Brian, what about you? Any game you were hyped for that you were disappointed in?
I got nothing.
Nothing?
Because, like, most games that I enjoyed, well, that I was disappointed in, I wasn't really excited for. I was not really disappointed in, per se. So, no, I got nothing.
Gotham Knights. I missed because of the Batman and stuff. I love those Batman games. I was like, oh, this would be great, fine. I thought it was going to be a swerve that he's dead, you know, that type of thing. And I'm playing, I was like, what the hell? I still hope that they do something to fix things up. But, my hype was real for that one.
Right. Good stuff. Let's move on here. Ace Ali. What is your current game of the year, and are there any more upcoming games that might unseat it? Like I said, I'm personally still debating between God of War, Ragnarok, and Elden Ring. I'll decide after I beat God of War again, because I'm playing it at my own pace instead of just rushing it for the review. Callisto Protocol is not going to unseat any of those games. I'll tell you that right now. That's the only. I tweeted about this earlier today. Like, that's literally the only other game I'm going to play this year. So this year, I would have played less than 10 games total. Pretty bad year, you know? But the games that I did play were at least good, you know? So there's that. Except Saints Row. Ooh, basura, you know? So no current game of the year for me right now. I'm still up in the air. Adam, Call of Duty, I'm guessing?
No.
Turtles?
No.
What is it?
I don't think I have one. I don't think that. And
we're going to actually answer this question at the end of the year, you know?
Because, like, Elden Ring, I didn't play it. No interest in that. The God of War, I got to be in a mood to play that of War, that type of thing. Like, with the kid and doing that, everything. Every time I play, even when I play it now on the Steam Deck, I just keep thinking of Bioshock Infinite. And with Elizabeth and dealing with that whole thing, I feel like, ugh, I don't know what it is. I love it, but I don't know. So, I have no desire right now to play it. I'll play it eventually, but it's not for me. And I can't think of any. Because for a game of the year, it has to be a game that I can recommend to everyone. And the games that I play most of, it's not going to be for everyone. And so I don't have a game.
Yeah. Manny, do you have anything? Just current at the moment.
I mean, I guess my two favorite games of the year were... Stray and the Turtles, the new Turtles game. I mean, I feel like that's the only two that I played the previous one. But yeah, I think that's the only two modern games I've played so far.
Yeah, so
kind of weird, right?
it's been a bad year, man.
Yeah.
Carlos, you have a current one at the moment?
Yeah, it's a shocker. Elden Ring.
Yeah, yay.
I still have yet to play God of War. Which is, could be definitely be in the running if it turns out to be as good as a lot of people are saying. Callisto Protocol, I guess, is a dark horse because that's the only other game that I'm excited to play before the year ends. So those are potentially the two games that could unseat it. But this year hasn't been that much that many games that have been enticed me to play. So and honestly, Elden Ring would probably win in most years. If I'm being honest, I feel like that game would have been game of the year before and the year before that for me.
Yeah. Brett, do you have a current game of the year?
Yeah, Elden Ring, and nothing. Nothing can do anything to unseat Elden Ring.
There you go.
That's definitely my game of the year.
And Brian, you're the wild card since you don't really play new games like that.
Well, it is the same indeed. Trope.
Yeah, so there you go.
But I actually do have a current game of the year, most because it's the most fun game I played this year by far. And it actually came out at the start of the year.
So it counts.
Yes. And Tony's going to laugh at this one. But then I guess it just shows just how bad the year has been. Strangers of Paradise, Final Fantasy Origins.
Wow.
Well... The problem is, every other game I played was kind of just not that fun. Like Ghostwire Tokyo was just kind of meh, you know? Saints Row was Saints Row. The best said about that, the better. Pokemon Legends Arceus had a really annoying start.
Was that this year?
So yeah, it just kind of
Pokemon Atreus, right? Yeah.
Atreus.
So yeah, it's win by default. But I have to admit, Callisto Protocol is looking really nice. I was watching some dev diaries while this morning, and it's starting to hook me in like very, very well. So I'm kind of getting excited about that. And as you know, I don't play Forbidden West and Elden Ring because I don't see the point in those. I already know where how I'm going to feel about open world Dark Souls and Horizon 2 Dinosaur Boogaloo, I guess.
Yo, Brian, so, yeah. did you prefer Strangers of Paradise as opposed to Stray? I know you like Stray, but I don't know if you liked that much.
Strangers of Paradise was just more fun to play. Again, Stray was good. Can't have no real faults against it. Just that Strangers of Paradise was just fun because, again, you could have builds and crazy powers, and the characters were just really. The characters were. I don't know if they were really eccentric on purpose or by accident, but it just seemed to work in that. Just didn't care. And of course, the ending. If you know the ending, then you know the ending.
Oh.
Yeah, it had a very twist, and again, it drew you in with the memes, but then it sold you on the heart at the end.
Interesting.
Oh, I do have one. I'll do it. WWE 2K22. That is a solid game for anyone who likes action and fighting and story and creation, because the custom creation center is ridiculous. You could add real world stuff into it, images and. The online actually works. It's got all these modes. Everything just works. Yeah, it had some little issues at launch with some of the other areas that were crashing, but they resolved those, and it's a solid experience, and it's got everybody. And if it doesn't have what you want, you can make it, and they don't give a shit. Go ahead, make AEW guys, XPW, doesn't matter. So yeah, I would recommend that to anybody because it's a fun pick up and play. You could even simplify the button if you want to just have it for anybody who doesn't know anything about beat 'em ups and stuff like that, and fighters. So it's fun. So yeah, I would say that's my game with you.
I guarantee you there's two guys on this show that wouldn't like it.
Bro.
Me and you, Manny.
Mm-hmm. Manny likes those games. I used to play with Manny with those games.
Which game was this again?
Wrestling game, but it's, you know.
I mean, I don't know. I haven't played the wrestling games in a long time. I feel like a lot of the modern wrestlers are a little boring. It's just dudes in short, dudes in underwear.
It's just names. They don't even have like personalities anymore. Like, John Cena, blah blah blah. Like, what's his name? You know, what is his name? You know.
But we got Luchasaurus.
Roman Reigns. And like, what's this motherfucker's name?
I mean,
his name is John Cena.
Yeah, that's stupid. What about remember we used to have motherfuckers like Stone Cold, The Rock. You know, Hulk Hogan, like Ultimate Warrior.
They still have those.
You know?
They at least had a little bit of a nickname to go with their name. Like,
Sheamus Blackley. I'm like, that's not a fucking stage name.
My name is Sheamus.
Now you're just making up stuff. Listen, they have plenty of that stuff. Remember, we went through the whole thing with The Fiend, and you even said it. Who's this guy with the clown mask and stuff? It's like, what? This is it. They have plenty of those type of characters.
Yeah, but are they like the top draw guys? Like the top draw guys are always like, you know, regular dudes. Like, you know, you open up a phone book like, hey, here's that wrestler's name, you know?
He is top draw. He is the top draw. Yeah. That is a big money maker right there, especially when it comes to merch.
The biggest?
Right now, yes, the biggest.
Okay, so I was proven wrong. But you know what I'm saying, though? It's like it may say just dudes in fucking shorts fighting or whatever. I don't know.
See, you haven't watched. You're out of touch, so I get it. That's what it went. That's the fact that you brought
up. No, what are you talking about? I see this shit on Twitter every day because I guess I follow a bunch of wrestling fans. I'm like,
John Cena hasn't wrestled in years.
No, I'm not talking about. I'm talking about in general, right? You have guys with just regular names that are the top.
See, but you know? Like Bret the Hitman Hart, and so there are people that have the whole little thing. You got the Executioner. You got all kinds of other things.
But the guys that I see regularly are just regular name dudes. You know, that's all I'm getting at. And I see this all
Moxley, you know.
Yeah, that's a regular name, you know.
Not a regular name if you know what Moxley is.
What about, like, you know, the Crusher or something like that, you know? Like,
so you're asking for the old school cheesy gimmicks, like you want to join the
He's like, yo, give me Kane.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, the Undertaker, you know.
Give me Kane.
Right. So I have those type, but not the complete job types. You don't have a guy dressed up as a hockey player coming down with a hockey stick.
Yeah, that'd be dope. Okay. Bring that shit back, man.
Oh, no.
You know? A Brooklyn Brawler. Let's fucking go.
It's a Brooklyn Brawler.
See, he's Drunken Guardian. You get it. You get it, man.
No, but you know? He knows. He knows. But he doesn't like that either. He still watches wrestling.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff, man. Let's move on here. Mob Hits, who's also been joining us tonight. With Alan Wake Remastered selling less than Remedy hoped for, are remasters or remakes a gamble for studios? No, that's just a one-off. Most of these games sell very well, you know?
I mean, to be honest, Alan Wake in general was
It was never that big.
No, it was never really that big. And I feel like as far as that remaster goes, it's you know, it's got some better textures, but it's not like they didn't really clean that game up that much. So yeah. I feel like, you know, but then again, why would they if they know that they're not going to, you know, get all that money back? So, you know.
Yeah. So I don't think it speaks for the larger, like, landscape, you know what I'm saying, of remasters.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Moving on. Next question. With Sony Santa Monica Studio once again bringing out another perfect classic. We don't know about that. He's talking about God of War Ragnarok. Because it did get high score. Well, it got high scores. I think he's basing it off of that. Remember, people, never base your opinion off a game off of high scores. I don't mean shit, you know? Would you guys want Sony Santa Monica to continue making these kind of God of War games or to branch out to another genre? Or do they have the capability that might not be there? I'm not sure.
Personally,
I want them to do something else. Do something else.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, like, I'd like to see them do something else. I feel like they had like they in fact before God of War the current God of War series they had actually had a game canceled. So yeah, I would like to see them sort of, you know, have a new franchise. They've been the God of War company for like over 20 years now.
Yeah. I think they have the capability of doing another game. Yeah. I want them to do another game. I want them to do another game, you know. And it's that I like God of War, but it's like, okay, we could take a little break now. Take a little break, do something else, you know. All right, next question. Kishak, who was also joining us tonight, and also thank you for subscribing. Appreciate that. Hypothetical question. Oh, boy. You know how these usually end? It usually ends with me going, I don't know. But we'll see. If after every generation, PlayStation never publishes a sequel ever again outside that generation, no matter how successful the game was, would that be a good or bad thing? What I mean is that once a new IP releases in a generation, the next generation, the next sequel can't appear on the next generation console. This way, every generation would feel different and wouldn't feel samey. Interesting hypothesis there. So basically saying, like, for example, you know how Uncharted started out on like PlayStation 3? He's saying, what if it only stayed on 3, never came to 4? Would that be better if, like, each generation had its own franchises that didn't spill over to the next one?
People get pissed.
That would work. That would never work. That would never work.
Then let's say you can't buy that console anymore, and everyone's like, "Oh, remember that one game? Oh, that was awesome! Oh yeah, you can't play that.
It wouldn't work.
Tied to it. People bitch about that now with certain ones like Infamous and stuff. Come on.
Yeah, people still want that. You know.
Yeah.
The thing people ask for the most are old games, which is, you know, ironic enough.
Well, I mean, we like everything old. As humans, we're just nostalgic with shit. We like old music. We like old clothes. People wearing bell bottoms again. That's what happened.
Yeah. So, yeah, I know it's a hypothetical question, but it's too hypothetical, dude. So we'll move on. Final question of the night.
Finally,
all right. Do you guys think that when gamers call to boycott video games during controversies, it actually does the opposite? It inadvertently signal boosts the game even more. It all seems to me that when controversy happens, YouTubers, influencers, are they seizing the moment in bad faith to capitalize because it helps their line their pocket and gain more clout. Like, if clout feel like a part of movement without actually doing anything. The Last of Us Part 2, Dexit, Pokemon Sword and Shield, Hogwarts Legacy, and more recently, Bayonetta 3 seem to be prime examples. Interesting question.
Well, I mean, in general, that is something that's going to happen, especially with a YouTuber. They're obviously going to jump onto the bandwagon because of how much attention it's getting. Are you going to say to Yong Ye or some other YouTuber, "Oh, no, don't cover this stuff"? Because they are going to cover this stuff because people are going to want to hear what their opinions are on these sorts of situations. But if they also resisted it, you know, so I think it's just a given that it's where they're, it's in the news cycle. So obviously they're going to jump right on top of it.
Yeah. We don't have any data, obviously, for this, but yeah, it would be interesting to know, like, do controversies or boycotts actually lead to more sales after a backlash? Because apparently, again, I don't have the numbers for this, but apparently that's what happened with Bayonetta 3 after the backlash that happened. Because remember, the homegirl was saying, oh, like, they only paid me $4,000, boycott the game. But then when it turned out she was full of shit, everybody started buying the game, you know, just to spite her.
You know? It does anything, because we've seen even on the flip side, like with Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, when that one came out, that was awesome.
Yeah.
And it put a bad taste from Avengers that nobody even wanted to pay attention to. Meanwhile, all these YouTubers and influencers were praising it. Like, no, this wasn't that game. And it didn't do shit for the sales.
Yeah, but nobody was asking to boycott that game.
No, but they were doing the reverse. You would think these big names, if they had that power, then it would go on the flip side. When it comes to boycotting, I don't think it matters, because if you're a fan, you're going to get it regardless. Like that, even with the DC and all that, the Gotham Knights. If you like that IP, you're going to get it regardless. You like that universe. You like these characters. Same thing with Call of Duty. What was it? The one with the space one that was horrible. You know, that had the Jon Snow one in that one. That one had what, the most downvoted video. Blah blah blah. Everybody was shitting on it. It wasn't a good game. It still sold record numbers. So who the hell? I'm sure people that watched these videos are also the ones that went out to buy it. Don't tell me every person that watched it said, you know what, you're right. Great game. Not for me. They still bought it. So I don't think so. I think people just listen to it and make their own decisions, which is what they should do.
Yeah. I remember when Modern Warfare 2 came out, the original Modern Warfare 2, right? There was this controversy that they didn't have dedicated servers, right? Day one, all the people that made a petition to boycott the game were playing the game. Oh. Ain't that something? Ain't that something, you know?
Yeah. There's no point. There's no point to like that boycotting shit. Yeah. It's like, if you don't like it and you have a valid reason, then just don't buy it. Don't go after them and then try to ruin the developers' lives and do all this, because you don't, they can always fix issues. If it's not for you, it's not for you.
Yeah. Again, can't really answer this question. We don't have any data to back it up. But it is interesting, though. And like Manny said, in general, like, influencers, they need to like milk these things as much as they can. That's why they have like 50 fucking videos on the same topic, you know, because if they keep bringing in numbers, they're going to keep making videos about it, you know, until the well dries up. You know, we've seen a lot of characters like that. I'm not going to name any names, but we've seen a lot of that, you know. Like, remember when G4 thing was popping off with Frost? There was a lot of channels that became big just covering that shit. You know, but the danger with that is, you know, if you get big covering one big news topic, what happens with news eventually? Goes away.
It goes away.
Yeah, and then all your followers go away too, you know?
That's the one thing I always say about Young. Yeah, he was the Metal Gear reporting guy. He was with all that stuff going on with Kojima and all that stuff, he was always on Johnny on the spot talking about that stuff. But when it all started dying down, he needed to evolve into something that was more than just the Metal Gear, the guy who just that just reports on Metal Gear shit or Kojima shit.
Shoot, I knew so many YouTubers that were just dedicated to collecting all the arcade one-ups and you know, modding, doing the whole thing, and that's completely died out, that they just moved on to other things. So either actual arcade machines or just video game in general, or toys, they moved on. It's just they got so expensive. They're like $700-$800 each, and then they were poorly built. A lot of them have a lot of issues. The Simpson one had a lot of audio issues and other issues, and the controls not working right. It's a shame. So yeah, like you said, it's like that with almost everything. When you're dedicated to one type of content, and what if that starts fizzling out? What do you do?
Yeah, you got to pivot. You know, you have no choice.
That's why I give credit to some of these. There's a few. There's one prestige key that I know that he's got over 1 million subs. All he covers is Call of Duty. But thankfully, there's always a Call of Duty.
There's always a Call of Duty, exactly, yeah.
Call of Duty, and he covers all of it. And he's constantly, so I'm like, well, you know what? You're going strong. And he even says he's one of the few. It's a lot of them, you know, cover other shooters as well. A little mix of Apex or whatever. COG for life, and that's...
Damn,
so, you know, be interesting to see what happens when these with the 2 year thing see how that
goes. What's he going to do during that time? You know,
from what Infinity Ward has said is that they still plan on sprinkling, you know, stuff throughout the season passes and all that stuff throughout those years. And then, of course, Warzone is going to have plenty of Warzone. So he can probably drag those out. We'll see.
Adam, did you play the Godzilla and King Kong DLCs?
No. I thought about playing it for Vanguard, but I hated Vanguard so much that I couldn't even. Yeah, out of all of them, I played the least amount of multiplayer in that. And then they even stopped with season 5. They didn't even go the full season list. They just gave up on it too. Just wasn't. It wasn't good. But I wanted to try that out. It had the big monsters coming, and I was like, but then I have to reinstall it. And
now you don't want to do that shit.
No, it's like 250 gigs. Remember?
These are
beefy. It's like, I'm not gonna go. Shit.
That shit is crazy. Permission to ask an off-topic, non-gaming question, real quick.
If we do, then I have to throw in Mob Hits one because I deleted his non-gaming one.
Oh.
What's that? Huh? How far off topic is it?
It has to do with Godzilla.
Sure, it's Godzilla, so I'll let it pass.
So what's that new movie?
It's a new Toho movie.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So it says 30 years of Godzilla. So.
So it's not the Hollywood stuff.
No, it's Toho. No. Japanese guys, you know.
Ooh, interesting. Okay.
But that's all we know is Toho. That's it. Toho live action Godzilla movie. That's all we know. We don't know anything about it. And you know what? I'll throw in Bob Hitz's other question just because.
Just cause to?
Since we always talk about this platform all the time, may as well, right?
Uh-oh.
Platform. Are any of you thinking about leaving Twitter now that Elon Musk has taken over?
No.
Fuck no. I'll tell you this, man. I think people are fucking overreacting, man. Like, I'm getting the same kind of vibe as when our boy Trump won. You know, like,
oh my god,
I feel like here is the real problem, and this is for every single person that's on Twitter. You got to realize that pretty much most people on Twitter are addicted to Twitter. And the bigger issue is not the fact that you're the fact that this guy is taking it over. It's the fact that you're just looking to get your fix somewhere else. But realize it's the same fucking shit. There are a bunch of these big media companies that are owned by two out of touch fucking rich people. So you're gonna go over to Instagram? Same fucking shit. Yeah. Didn't they take that dude to court because he was friggin' selling people's information or providing misinformation or other kinds of bullshit?
So well, it's Instagram the same is goddamn owned by shit. Facebook. So
yeah, there so you it's go. The same Facebook, Instagram. It's the same. You know, Twitter. It's all the same shit. So it's like okay, it's, you know. It's like pick it's your poison.
That's what people are freaking out about. Is it because the other ones you don't have to pay, and this is the paying? And
here's the thing. This is you know what this is. This is him using the fact that people are fucking crackheads for friggin' Twitter to get we'll them see, to pay yeah. for this shit because we'll you see, know that, people to get people that coveted pay. That coveted a check mark and you know are gonna wanna do that shit. Don't it's nothing.
They pay. That's the only thing
I see. To be honest, Yosa, I feel like in general, like in like you know, because the one other thing about it is it's like, you know, because nobody ever wanted to pay for Insta, was it Twitter, whatever bullshit version of Twitter they wanted people to pay for. And that thing wasn't making any money because nobody gave a shit. And I think this thing is just a ploy to get people to pay for something.
Oh yeah, it's to make money because he's borrowed so many billions or whatever to fucking pay for this shit.
But at the same time, it's like you know what? Maybe we need to just not be concerned about who's got the check mark or something because that gives an artificial importance to people to be honest, I think a lot of people who have that check mark shouldn't be given any sort of priority like that.
It's gonna
you're telling
it.
Me.
You're gonna kill it.
Oh no, I definitely think it is going to kill it. But the thing is, I do. Here's the thing: I am a mind of two different sides. I do see the importance of having you know somebody like a celebrity protect their brand or certain other people to protect their brand. I understand that sort of idea, but at the same time, now since everybody's got the verified check mark, so what does that mean?
it makes it worthless, you know.
It's not supposed to be worth anything in the first place. That's the thing.
It makes it meaningless.
It is supposed to be meaningless. The only reason why you have a check mark is to confirm that you are you.
That is the meaning of it.
But the thing is that any other reasoning behind that, it makes no sense. Like, should you get priority over somebody else?
Oh, no, that's stupid.
Because you have a check mark? Yeah, no. And I feel like that creates a sort of weird caste system. So if we're going to go down the line of having people that have this sort of check mark thing, it should just be to verify their identity, not to give them fucking priority over other regular
that's
people.
That's stupid. Yeah.
It forces you to protect yourself to pay for this as for celebrities, not for us, but like for celebrities that now it's like, now I have to pay this or else somebody is going to become a clone of me, or there could be multiple clones.
There's already a clones of actors and actresses on
there. Okay, now hold on a second. I keep hearing this, and I don't like Twitter, but I have to kind of throw this in. People are still going to be verified the same way that they are now. They're just going to pay for it. It doesn't mean if you can pay $8 and be, you know, Brad Pitt official Twitter. Like, that's not how it works. You still have to verify yourself the same way you do now. You're just paying for it.
You sure? Because all you have to do is sign up and fill out the form and pay your $8 or $20 if you do that.
Yeah, you fill out the verification.
Yeah, you still got to go through your identity process. Yeah.
Yeah. So even then, it's like it doesn't make the process any easier.
No, you just have to pay for it now. But like, I keep hearing people say like, well, like, so what, you just pay $8 and you get to be anybody? Like, no, that's not how it's going
to
work.
No, you have to have all the information that you would need for that. But
it's going to cost here's a link.
The whole purpose of the blue check mark was for people that were celebrities and people with clout to verify them, to see like, oh no, this is a celebrity you're looking for.
This is the real them. Yes.
And what they're doing now is Elon is tapping into that holy grail check mark and trying to make a profit off of that.
And as soon as
that happens, I think it's going to have less value. It was never about verification, because anyone can put their name of whoever on their Twitter stuff. I mean, a lot of people thought that the CEO of Kaz Hirai was CEO of Kaz Hirai.
Dumbasses.
A lot of people can create different accounts. For the people that are overreacting to this, I'll just say, just keep an open mind, because Twitter isn't, it's not like Twitter is like doing amazing things right now. It just is what it is. And it's probably always going to be like this. And also to the people that are overreacting the other direction, where they're like, oh, the fucking savior's coming, the fucking messiah is coming. It's like, all right, Elon is buying this because of fucking clout. That's why he's buying it.
Yeah.
This is his mega yacht.
I think the thing about it is I understand the whole thing of, but at the same time, it's like, what else is it really going to change other than the fact that you have to pay for it? I don't know. I feel like it's, again, I'm of two minds, because like, again, I've been trying to get verified for a while now because of art theft, and I still have been able to do it because I don't have because artwork in general is not SEO friendly. So I can't really protect a lot of my stuff. I could see from that angle an artist wanting to do that and paying into it, but for me, I'm not going to pay into it. I'm just like, all right, whatever.
See, so
it's already been in that boat already.
If it does kick off, and let's say this works, and everybody that was obsessed then says, all right, we're all paying, what's stopping from all the other services doing the same thing? They're like, oh wow, would people?
Well, no, yeah, that's a. Well, I mean, to be honest, a lot of the other services do have pay models on them. Instagram has a pay model on top of it. So does Facebook. Just not a lot of people use it. I mean, how many times, if you are on Instagram, how many times does it tell you, especially if you have a business account, that, you know, hey, you want to pay for this AdSense to essentially put more people onto your page?
But
it's the same shit.
Everybody paying for everybody to get verified. Doing ads promotions, that's separate. You could always, that's how they make
their money. There's also on Instagram, they have the pay version of Instagram, where you get more features. And that's what Twitter was attempting to do, where they were, with their previous version of this, their pay system.
Commercials, and you can
It's like it was like commercials, and it's also essentially you getting certain privileges over others because you're paying into it.
Instagram does have a check mark.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, YouTube has one too.
Yeah,
they do.
Well, yep.
And Twitch.
Yeah, Twitch does as well.
Yes, Twitch does too. Uh-huh,
uh-huh.
Yeah, but the thing is that like it's all based on your SEO.
Yeah, I don't think any of them they charge you. Like that's like you said, it's all based on all the facts.
It's all based on Twitter likes to use this sort of bullshit term called cultural importance. And when the real factor is how many clicks it's getting, or how many searches it's getting, and how many articles, or legitimate articles and things were written about it. But it really, it only has to do with that sort of thing. Like, again, if you could be a nobody, you could have been an actor in a bunch of movies, just have a bunch of bit parts, but you probably can't get yourself verified.
Mob Hits asked the most important question of the day.
Yes.
Do we need to get a check mark for Throwdown Show?
I don't think we have to worry about anybody impersonating the show, you know.
No, I don't think so. I mean, it would be nice if we could say that it was the thing, but again, I feel like it's just the whole clout thing. It really doesn't matter. Yeah. Like, if we had a thing that said official Throwdown, would it make you click any more on our Twitter than it normally would? Probably not.
You'd be surprised. I will mention one thing that happened to someone. I checked Twitter, was it yesterday? Mm-hmm. And the first thing that popped into my feed, it's always fucking Tony for some reason.
Hmm. Yeah, it always.
I know the guy.
Well, no, it gives you the thing is that having a check mark gives you priority over other people.
And
the algorithm's also in play because there's certain people without check marks that always pop up in my feed just because I always interact with them. You know,
you always interact with them, and it also bases it on your bases it also on how many followers they have too. So you have a couple of different factors. So if the reason why you probably see Tony all the damn time is because that. Here's a funny thing on my end: I don't interact that much with Tony on Twitter, and I barely see any of the things he tweets.
I don't talk to him on Twitter. I'm really on any of that stuff, and he's always at the top.
Talk to him right now,
and it'll
talk to him right now.
yeah, I could talk to him in person. I'd be like, "Yo, what up, Tony? How you doing?"
That's what I'm saying. And then we have our own email. You know, the message chat. So I was like, "There's no
email." Yeah, of course, he's that email.
He always,
yeah, we have our own emails because this
and is I get the 2020. Yeah, I get
remember
the same
back
thing
in the day
with Discord. I still get it from Discord whenever he sends me messages.
When he sent that text, I'm like, of fucking course Adam gets an email for Discord. Yeah,
I got one earlier today when he sent the message in Discord.
Yeah. So I guess my point, what I was going to say, the tweet that Tony mentioned was the Disney Plus one. And Tony.
Oh, my God. What the fuck is wrong with people, man?
I have a theory.
Ahead. Yeah, okay.
Real quick, I have a theory. A lot of the people that responded to you weren't even the usual fanboy haters.
Yeah,
they were just randoms. Yeah. And because of the blue check mark.
No, I agree with you on that. But again, you know, and I know I'm being stupid right now because I'm trying to find the logic in fucking Twitter because there is no logic, right? Because a lot of people are saying, what's the point of tweeting this? This is the point of like, me tweeting about eating a hot dog is just as pointless as me tweeting about this. What's the fucking difference? Right? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, why did you feel the need to say that? I'm like, how come you're not upset when I tell you what my favorite Godzilla movie is? It's literally just as pointless, isn't it? Right?
Mm-hmm.
But people are fucking stupid when it comes to unsubscribing with things, because again, they take it as a personal attack. They, you know, they base their identity on Disney Plus or Netflix or whatever. So it's like, oh, there's something wrong with me because I still have it. No, you fucking dickhead. I'm just saying I unsubscribe. I'm not talking about you, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, with this whole thing, if they start asking me for $8, fuck you. I'm not paying that shit. You know, I think my follower count will let you know I'm the real me. You know, I'm not paying any fucking dollars. Fuck that. You know, I was reading that thing they put out. It seems I could be completely wrong. It seems that if you are already verified, you're good to go. You know, but, you know, if they go, oh, by the way, $8. Nah, fuck that shit.
No.
Twitter ain't that fucking important.
That's the whole point, and you have 90 days.
Yeah.
That was the whole reason why they said it, because they were like, hey, you have 90 days to sign up.
Yeah, fuck that shit.
It doesn't matter.
Unlike what these fucking idiots on Twitter say, I don't give a fuck about the clout. I don't give a shit about it. I'm just on Twitter to tweet about my articles and just tweet random shit. I don't care. you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, what was it? There was a guy, some rapper, I forgot the name of the rapper, there was a
verse. Man, you remember.
He said, if every head in my tweet sub equal to dollars, I'd be a millionaire.
Oh, I've said, oh, listen.
I've said that a million, a bunch of times.
Yeah, but he put it in a song. It was really cool the way he just worded it all up.
If I got a dollar for every follower I have, I wouldn't have to, like a month, I wouldn't have to work. $11,000 a fucking month, I'd be chilling, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But again, I've said this on the show a million times. I am frustrated that the thing I'm most known for on the internet, Twitter, is what doesn't make me a cent, right? And then the thing I am known for, nobody knows what I do. You know, the thing actually makes me money. Oh, you're a journalist? You write for a website? Yes, you fucking piece of shit. It says it right there by bio. Read it.
Oh, they don't look...
They don't,
just like when no, they don't read any of that stuff.
Read articles. They just look at the headlines and then they assume everything.
Yeah.
So they
But yeah,
doesn't verify. He testifies. Verify these nuts, man. You know, those things.
Yeah.
But I will say this though. I am enjoying the chaos that Elon's causing on Twitter. I'm loving it. I think it's hilarious.
I will say this: that I do. Sometimes I enjoy some clapback, but if a year from now Elon Musk is still the fucking the topic of conversation every fucking day, it fucking, I'm like, all right, man, I'm done with this.
Yeah, that would get annoying. Yeah, I hear you. By the way, did you hear the whole thing with Kathy Griffin? She got suspended because she started impersonating Elon, you know?
And then she had a thing. She had a thing that said, yeah, Elon Musk.
Yeah, so she got, you know, she got suspended. And then, you know, Elon tweeted about it. And he was like, hey, she could come back. It'll just cost her $8.
Oh, oh, no.
There you go. So then that whole thing about free speech, I guess it only works one way then.
Well, you know, it's also the other thing that I notice about all this is that people are going to some of the other, those other weird.
Mastodon. Mastodon's a fucking band, bro.
Oh, yeah. Mastodon.
But here's the thing. Mastodon is not like Twitter at all.
No, don't you have to learn learn how to code first?
Yeah, it's a lot more complicated. You can essentially make your own social network using Mastodon. In fact, Trump's stupid thing, his uses the back end from Mastodon.
Yeah.
But so it's not
like MySpace back in the day where you had to like do a little bit of HTML.
Yeah.
So you're essentially it's essentially just the guts of creating something like that. So again, you can pretty much make your own social media network, just that's not, you know, that has, you know, that people can subscribe to, which is almost like Twitter, but not. The thing about it is that it doesn't have the being that it's so fragmented like that. It's not like the essentially everybody's on it, like something like a Twitter, so, or Instagram.
Well, it's not established. That's the thing. Once you get the big followings, and that's the main thing. It's like you can create any service. Anybody can go in. If no one joins it, then it's pointless. So Twitter already has that install base. Well, according to Elon, it doesn't have an install base. It's got a bunch of bots. We'll see. Time will tell. We'll see in a year. We'll come back and see if it worked out with the numbers. That things could always change. He wants to add $8. No one's paying that. Maybe he lowers it to $4. Who knows? He's just trying to make some money out of it.
Yeah, let me read his tweet. You know, regarding the whole Kathy Griffin thing, actually, she was suspended for impersonating a comedian. But if she really wants her account back, she can have it for $8.
Oh my god!
Impersonating a comedian, but other comedians impersonate other comedians.
Oh god! I mean, the clapback is fucking hilarious. But then, if you think about it, it's the fucking dude running the company.
Yeah, but that's it is. But that's also kind of what makes it funny too. It's like, yo, you should be acting professional. You're a fucking troll. You know,
and he's always been like
he's always been like that. Yeah, he's like he's an ultimate troll.
Him trolling Twitter is what led to him purchasing it.
Yeah.
So,
this whole thing could be a troll, you know?
It's a mess. Who knows? We give it a few months, he'll make some changes and then probably flip it like a venture capitalist and just sell it.
Yeah, right.
And then somebody else buy it from a fucking Tencent or own it.
Oh, shit.
Whatever.
or like some other company, what is it? You know, like what happened to LiveJournal, where the Russian government ended up owning it.
Oh,
shit. Yeah. All right, man.
Situations like that. So
could happen. Mm-hmm. But anyway, you know, that's enough of a non-gaming topic, but it was a good one. All right, we're done here, people. So do we have anything to plug?
Actually, yes. I was a part of the Dave Wonder channel's Extra Life stream, 24-hour stream, which was Saturday and part of Sunday, and it was for a good cause, you know, for the, you know, to help raise money for cancer treatment, you know, treatments for children. Dave, at least we, from what I saw, not including the YouTube, I guess YouTube, you know, super chats, he pretty much went smashed his $5,000 donation thing, and it was well over it. If you want to, if it includes the super chat monies, so good stuff, you know, always good to have something like that. And Dave had a lot of you know, people from all different, you know, walks of life working, you know, on the show as guests. He had professional wrestlers. He had, you know, representatives for toy companies, toy sculptors, comic artists like myself. So it was a lot of people on there, joining together to lend their ear and their words to this stream that he did. So it was a lot of fun.
Good stuff.
So yeah, if you want to see it, you can get over onto Dave Wonder, which is on YouTube as well as on the Twitch.
Cool.
What was the fundraiser for?
Huh?
What was it for? What was
Extra Life?
What's the Extra Life? I thought it linked to certain services. Extra Life was like certain foundations that they would give.
No, it's a, yeah, it's for, at least for this one, it was for cancer research and leukemia and stuff like that.
For like disaster reliefs and stuff.
Yeah. But this one was for cancer, and because Dave, unfortunately, he lost his father to cancer, and so he just, you know, wants to, you know, fuck cancer, you know, get rid of it, that shit. So more research into it. So, you know, there we go. And that's what we sort of did. It was a good time. A lot of cool people on there. And yeah. So if you want to check it out, check it out. I think his, also, if you want to donate, you can go on to the description for that 24-hour stream. And I think it's still open if you want to donate a little bit of money to it.
Cool. Adam, anything to plug?
We posted our latest episode of I Am Negan, which is for season 11, episode 23. Is the second to the last episode of The Walking Dead Mothership. So we go in deep, myself, Rich Billy Jr., and Carlos Romero, trying to figure out how they're going to end this, who is going to die. I already teased the death of a major character in this episode. Check it out on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube. We're over at thecoalition.com. We go over, man. This is it. It's the final countdown, people.
Who's going to come Adam back Mike as a zombie?
You know? Who's going to come back as a zombie, yeah. Right? I think I know.
Crazy. All right, people. Actually, one last thing. Throwdown. The next episode will be on Wednesday night, people. So be on the lookout for that. We'll be on Twitch, 10:30, usual time, but different day. So be prepared for that. So we'll be coming a little earlier than usual. So yeah. Anyway, you have been watching us on Twitch. Thank you for everybody who joined us. You can find us also on Twitter. Maybe Elon won't suspend us. You know. we're also on Discord. Apparently, a lot of people are going to Discord. Like, we're gonna start our own Discord server. We're gonna meet up there. Discord, come on, bro. That's not gonna hit the same reach as Twitter. You know.
Nah, man. You ain't gonna get your crack fixed from Discord.
Yeah. Again, yeah. The way Twitter is designed is to be addictive. It really is. You know. So you're not gonna get that shit from a Discord server.
I feel at this point though, Reddit would be the closest contender.
No. Reddit has a different audience.
It's got a different audience, but that's what I'm saying. I can see it switching, because you could do the same type of thing and you can have more voices talking in one chat.
No, Twitter is
breaking news, the app.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, like it's just quick news right there, you know? That's what it was originally designed for. Reddit is just like, it's so much. It's overwhelming, you know?
You have to customize it for what you want.
Yeah, Breaking News the App. That's basically what it is.
Breaking News the App.
Yeah. Anyway, Throwdown, we're on every podcast app on the planet. Throwdown Show, two words, Throwdown Show, every podcast app. What are we at? Amazon, Spotify, iTunes, you know, Google, all that good stuff. And a bunch of I've never even heard of. You know, it's just how it is. Throwdownshow.com to listen to previous episodes. And if you have been watching us on YouTube and enjoyed the content, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified of when our premieres go live. Links to everything down below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco, and tonight joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Adam Vail.
Have a good week, people.
Brett Murdoch. It's a real party, people. And Brian Majoma.
Later, guys.
All right, guys. We'll see you on Wednesday. Later.
Latest. Cheers.
Peace.